ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
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 We are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2, Chapter 4, The Process of Creation, Text Number 11. Suta Uvacha
Suta Uvacha
Ityupamantrito Rajna
Ityupamantrito Rajna
Gunanukathane Hare
Gunanukathane Hare
Hrikesham
Manusmritya Hrikesham Manusmritya
Pradivaktum Vrajakrame
Pradivaktum Vrajakrame
Suta Uvacha
Suta Uvacha
इत्युपामन्त्रितो राज्ञा गुणानुकथने हरेः ऋषिकेशम् अनुस्मृत्य प्रतिवक्तुं व्रजक्रमे सूत उवाच इत्युपामन्त्रितो राज्ञा गुणानुकथने हरेः ऋषिकेशम् अनुस्मृत्य प्रतिवक्तुं व्रजक्रमे सूत उवाच सूत गोस्वामी
सेड्
इति दस् उपामन्त्रितः Being requested, Rajna, by the king, Guna Anukathane, in describing the transcendental attributes of the Lord, Harehe, of the personality of Godhead, Hrishikesham, the master of the senses, Anusmritya,
properly remembering,
Pradivaktum,
just to reply.
Prajakrame executed the preliminaries. Translation. Suta Goswami said, when Shukadev Goswami was thus requested by the king to describe the creative energy of the personality of Godhead, he then systematically remembered the master of the senses, Sri Krishna, and to reply properly, he spoke thus, purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada. The devotee of the Lord, while delivering speeches and describing the transcendental attributes of the Lord, do not think that they can do anything independently. They think that they can speak only what they are induced to speak by the Supreme Lord, the master of the senses. The senses of the individual being are not his own. The devotee knows that such senses belong to the Supreme Lord and that they can be properly used when they are employed for the service of the Lord. The senses are instruments and elements are ingredients or endowed by the Lord. Therefore, whatever an individual can do, speak, see, etc., is under the direction of the Lord only. The Bhagavad Gita 15:15 confirms this. Sarvasya chaham hridi sannivishto matah smriti jnanam apohanam cha. No one is free to act freely and independently. And as such, one should always seek the permission of the Lord to act or eat or speak. And by the blessings of the Lord, everything done by a devotee is beyond the principles of the four defects typical of the conditioned soul. Om Jnanativrandasya Jnananjanasalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakavalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha
శ్రీరూపం సాగ్రజాతం సహగణ రఘునాథాన్వితం తం సజీవం సాద్వైతం సావధూతం పరిచన సహితం కృష్ణ చైతన్యదేవం శ్రీరాధాకృష్ణ పాదాన్ సహగణ లలితా శ్రీ విశాఖాన్వితాంశ్చ హే కృష్ణ కరుణా సింధో దీనబంధో జగత్పతే గోపేశ గోపికా కాంత రాధాకాంత నమోస్తుతే తప్త కాంచన గౌరాంగీ రాధే వృందావనేశ్వరీ వృషభానుసుతే దేవి ప్రణమామి హరి ప్రియే వాంఛకల్పతరూభ్యశ్చ కృపాసింధుభ్యేవ చ పతితానాం పావనేభ్యో వైష్ణవేభ్యో నమో నమః జయ శ్రీ కృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధర శ్రీవాసాది గౌర భక్తవృంద హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామ 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 హరే హరే
హరే కృష్ణ. ఇన్ దిస్ చాప్టర్ ఇన్ దిస్ సెక్షన్ there's going to be an auspicious invocation to Srimad Bhagavatam. So any scriptures, if you pick, they have auspicious invocation, which have prayers, which have bestowal of benedictions. There are glorification of the Supreme Lord. Similarly, in Srimad Bhagavatam, this section is about to start of glorification of Srimad Bhagavatam, of the Supreme Lord, by Srila Shukadeva Goswami. So from next verse onwards, Shukadeva Goswami is going to start invocatory prayers. So in that sense, it is very important to know the significance of Mangalacharan. We always have invocatory prayers before we do anything, before we start anything, before any scripture, any writing is being done. We can see the devotees' books. We can see scriptures. We can see Chaitanya Charitamrita. We can see Srimad Bhagavatam. Everywhere there are invocatory prayers. And when devotees present anything, there will be some invocatory prayers. It is applicable to Srimad Bhagavatam as well. Before we start speaking Srimad Bhagavatam, we have invocatory prayers, which we can see in the beginning of Bhagavad Gita in the introduction. We are trying to invoke the mercy of the Lord. We are declaring ourselves that we are dependent. We are not independent. We cannot present our oratory skills. We have nothing with us. We have no knowledge. We didn't take a birth where when we came out from the womb of our mother, we started speaking the pastimes of the Lord. We were completely ignorant. Even we didn't know how to count. We didn't know how to say A, B, C. We knew nothing. We didn't know how to eat. We didn't know how to dress. We were completely in ignorance. Even after growing up, we continued our ignorance. Even having education for many years, still we did continue our ignorance. A complete life in ignorance. There is not much difference between life in the womb of a mother and coming out and growing up. And for some people, they do pass entire life completely in ignorance. And so, we pray to Sri Guru, Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Because the spiritual master has given us the torchlight of knowledge, as it is given, Om Ajnana Timirandhasya. Timir is a disease to the eyes. And if we have that disease, we can't see anything. And Jnananjana Shalakaya, Shalaka means a device used by Ayurvedic doctors to cure Timira, this particular disease. So, Jnananjana Shalakaya, and what is the instrument used by the spiritual master to cure our ignorance, and that is Gyan, that is Divya Gyan, that is knowledge about Krishna. And only by that our ignorance is cured. And so, when we have some knowledge, when we present this knowledge, we are completely independent to the spiritual master. We are in complete dependence to the parampara and other devotees, because without their mercy it is impossible to present anything. So we have no ability to manufacture anything at all. And sheer ignorance only lead to taking credit for our deed and our speech. So here, when we speak about materialistic people, the whole idea is to take credit for anything and everything. If somebody works in corporate sector, there is always a competition to take credit. You may have done something, if you are working for someone, a boss, you do hard work, maybe over time you work a lot, and finally you complete the task, and the boss will take all the credit in front of his boss. And if you don't know how to project yourself, if you don't know how to prove that you have done everything and you are master of everything, then you will remain unsuccessful in material career. It's a fact. You had to show that you can do. You are the doer. You had to prove that you have the doer. Then you will get promotion. Then your career is successful. So when we come to spirituality, and especially when we come to Krishna consciousness, it is completely opposite. We are saying we are not the doer. And we are trying to pass all credit to the spiritual master, to the devotees. Starting with externally and later with the heart. And really giving that credit to the parampara, to the spiritual master, to the devotees, etc. So while explaining this verse, I have to make a forward reference. Because from next verse onwards, Shukadeva Goswami is offering beautiful prayers to the Lord, and there are few verses and few purports which are very interesting, and I will quote one among them which is very beautiful, and it has a direct correlation, direct connection to this particular purport. That is the 23rd verse of the same chapter. And this verse is very beautiful, and how I came to know about this verse was by mercy of a devotee. You may know him. His name is Viraj Krishna Prabhu. He is from Sydney. He is a disciple of His Holiness Mahavishnu Goswami Maharaj. So we were discussing a few verses from Srimad Bhagavatam. So he was pointing out this verse, and whenever he delivers a lecture, whether it be Bhagavatam or any other lecture, he used to refer to this particular verse always. In his invocatory prayers, he had added this verse. So I asked him, what is the significance? So he explained to me. So this is one of the most important invocatory prayer by Srila Shukadeva Goswami before starting speaking. He had already spoken few things. Now, Sutta Goswami have asked few questions, or the sages of Navamisharani have certain questions regarding creation, and Sutta Goswami is referring to Shukadeva Goswami, and he is first offering his prayers to the Supreme Lord. And in this 23rd verse, Shukadeva Goswami says, Bhudar Mahathirya Ima Puro Vipu Nirmaya Shete Damusha Purusha Bhungte Gunan Shodasha Shodasha Atmaka Solangrishishta Bhagavan Vacham Sime. He is offering prayers to the Lord who is dwelling in the heart and in the matter everywhere. And there is a specific purpose for him to pray to the Supreme Lord. And he is giving a very beautiful example showing the dependence of the living entities, and especially we devotees, we accept that dependence to the Supreme Lord. So in this particular verse is about creation, because here the section is about creation. And Shukadeva Goswami is presenting a very beautiful example from creation itself. Creation is a huge topic, and it is very difficult to understand creation. Even for materialistic people, it is practically impossible to understand creation. There are so many theories about creation. There are so many examples. There are so many fields of studies have been dedicated for creation, trying to understand creation. Say, for example, history is dovetailed in understanding creation. physics, dovetailed in understanding creation. There are studies in chemistry, in biology, in genetics. You pick archaeology. You pick the subjects far and wide. These subjects are engaged trying to understand creation of this material universe. And there are so many PhDs. There are so many theses to understand creation. Still, it is completely unknown. Still, there are a lot of speculation on creation because it is completely beyond the reach of material mind, which is very limited. So here, Sukadeva Goswami is about to describe creation, and so he beautifully prays to the Supreme Lord, and he makes a very wonderful point. He says, this creation is based on enlivening the 16 elements. There are 16 elements of creation. There are 11 senses. There are 3 modes of material nature. There are different ingredients to this creation. And if you see the matter in these subtle forms, in the 16 elements, they are just dead matter. They have no life at all. But just by the glances of the Supreme Lord, in the verse says, Bhungte Gunan, who can actually enjoy this gunas? It's a very interesting point. We cannot enjoy the gunas, because if we try to enjoy the gunas, means if we try to enjoy the matter, we do suffer. Wherever and however, if we try to enjoy the material world, there is suffering. Just like a coin has 2 sides, material enjoyment means consequent suffering. Then who can enjoy the gunas? So this verse says, Bhungte Gunan. Who can enjoy? Purusha can enjoy the gunas. However, he doesn't enjoy the gunas being in touch with the gunas, but being aloof from the gunas. So how? Just by a glance. So he can enjoy the gunas, and with his enjoyment, he is enlivening these gunas. So it appears as if it's completely live. The whole creation looks live. Everything is acting. And how he does? He's ready to dwell within the matter also. Shete. He's lying in the matter. Just like we can see Kshitotakashaya Vishnu, who is Paramatma. He's present he's lying on Anantashesh. And he's present in the matter. He's present within the atom. He's present in between the atom. He's present in all the living entities. So he's making it happen. So the conclusion is, who is making it happen? The Paramatma, who's an expansion, right? An expansion of Krishna. He's making all the whole thing happen. And how he does? Paramatma, what is he doing? He's just simply sleeping. He's in Yoga Nidra. So this is amazing. That something which is completely dead, which has no life at all, is coming into action just by the potency of the Lord. Where he is just lying down. And with his potency, the whole material creation takes place. So Sukadeva Goswami says, this in itself is a big hint. He says, yes, in the same way, my words have no potency. See, my words have no potency. But, oh my Lord, by your presence, make my words potent. See that. So this is the mood of a devotee. So this is the mood of Sukadeva Goswami. And we can see the mood of Suta Goswami. They are saying, okay, our words, this has to be the mentality of a speaker, that our words have no potency at all. But by the mercy of the Lord, let our words become potent so that it can help ourselves and it can help others. So Sukadeva Goswami says, may the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who enlivens the materially created bodies of the elements by lying down within the universe, and who in his Purusha incarnation causes the living being to be subjected to the 16 divisions of material modes, which are his generator, be pleased to decorate my statements. So that is, so alankrishishta Bhagavan vachamsi me. Mama vachamsi. My words, alankrishishta, decorate. Ornate those words such that it is palatable. It can penetrate the hearts of the living entities. So Sukadeva Goswami's prayer is for himself to speak this creation process and also for the help of all conditioned beings. Here, Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur makes a very wonderful statement. The conclusion of Sukadeva Goswami's verse is that, may my verse be without your presence. So he's afraid that my verse should always have presence of the Lord. So he's saying, may my verse be without your presence. So this is Sukadeva Goswami's mood. Now one could ask, if you try to understand this point, how the Lord is present within the words. You know, when we are speaking Srimad Bhagavatam, and even Harikatha, it's not all about Krishna's names directly. No. Srila Prabhupada says Harikatha, Krishna Katha is of two kinds. One is direct glorification of the Supreme Lord in his name, form, qualities, activities, etc. And the other form of glorification is showing the problems of material creation. Showing the negative aspect of the material creation so that we get the impetus to get out from this place, and also we understand how we are entangled in the material creation, in the material nature. So Krishna also does this. Krishna says, people are suffering in the material world. Krishna says, Dukhalem Ashashvatam. Right? Krishna says that Manashashtani Indriyani Prakritistani Kashati. Krishna never says it's a place of enjoyment. He directly points out this is a place of suffering. And also he says the glories of Krishna, he himself presents. And he presents the sweetness of bhakti. So there are two sides to this. And both are Krishna Katha, both are Harikatha. So here, if you try to see this section, this is going to be Harikatha in terms of activities of the Lord in connection to material creation. So there is a beautiful section in 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam in the 87th chapter, the prayers of the personified Vedas. This chapter is famous for its philosophical content, and many verses are indirect. However, these verses present very beautiful philosophical points. So I thought I would refer to two verses. This again explains a philosophical insight into presence of Lord within the words of the scriptures, within the words of the devotees. So to this, Maharaj Parikshit asks a question to Sukadeva Goswami. And the summary, the essence of the question is very interesting. He says, if you pick Vedic literature, the Vedic literature is actually mundane in one sense, because the Vedic literature uses words which are common to any other literature. Is it right? The words are quite common. Any words you pick in Vedic literature which has a mundane meaning to it. And those words, how can these words which are limited, if you talk about description, that is limited in itself. If you talk about words, it's limited. How can these limited words present the absolute? So if you look from an impersonal perspective, the absolute, if considering Brahma Jyoti, it is nirakar. It has no form, no qualities. It is practically indescribable. And even that, how is it possible to describe by the limited words of Vedas? It's a very interesting question. That is the words in itself, if you consider a language, even Sanskrit, it's a material thing. It's a material language. There is no spiritual, as it's not spiritual, just like any other language, it's a material language. So how can those words describe the absolute? So the question is like this, I'll read the question. O Brahmana, how can the Vedas directly describe the supreme absolute truth, who cannot be described in words? The Vedas are limited to describing the qualities of material nature, but the supreme is devoid of these qualities, being transcendental to all material manifestation and their causes. Okay, with material words, one could describe the material nature, but how is it possible to describe the Supreme Lord who is beyond? He is para. Then the answer to this is very complicated. Okay? If we hear the answer, then we cannot understand what is actually speaking about. So I'll read the answer. Sukadeva Goswami in the next verse says, Sukadeva Goswami said, the Supreme Lord manifested the material intelligence, senses, mind and vital air of the living entities so that they could indulge their desires for sense gratification. Take repeated birth to engage in fruitive activities. Right? Become elevated in future lives and ultimately attain liberation. So this is the answer to the question. So how can we understand this answer? Practically it is impossible to understand this answer. Right? That is, the Lord has created the mind, the Lord has created the senses, the Lord has created the vital energy so that the living entities can enjoy the material world. They can enjoy all fruitive activities. They can go to casino, they can drink, they can enjoy whatever they want to do. But ultimately it is mentioning here some pious enjoyment, not complete demoniac enjoyment. Okay, enjoy everything and ultimately come to a higher form of life, improve the consciousness and come to liberation. So this is the answer given by Sukadeva Goswami. So then in the commentary, there is explanation. What does it mean? Because apparently it doesn't look like very direct. So the answer is very interesting. Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says that here Sukadeva Goswami is taking a position of an impersonalist. Because even in this purport, the 11th verse purport which we were reading, there are statements which are quite questionable. The Mayavadis can ask many questions. How is it relevant? We'll read further. However, in this regard, Maharaj Parikshit is taking the standpoint of an impersonalist and asking, how is it possible to describe with these limited words? So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, first point, Sukadeva Goswami is giving an indirect answer because the impersonalists, they don't accept anything directly. So if there is a twist to it, oh, then they will think. Because all their explanations are indirect. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, in conversation to Prakashananda Saraswati, that why do you always take the indirect meaning of the words? If anything is presented, Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, everything is directly presented that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and we are the servants and we are minute, we are Anu and the Lord is Vibhu. But whenever there is such presentation, why do you take the indirect meaning? When Upanishad says, Tattvamasi, you are that, why do you interpret that we are that absolute truth? Why do you give such kind of interpretations? So, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked this question. So they are after interpretations and twisting words. So instead, giving direct answer, here Maharaj Parikshit gives an indirect answer. And in the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, the Lord himself says, many times the sages, they are parokshavadis. They don't give direct answers. They give an indirect answer so that depending on one's consciousness, one can understand it. So the Lord says, the rishis are giving indirect speeches and he says, parokshavadam cha mama priyam. But I like that. He doesn't have any problem with that. He says, I accept such kind of statements and I like it. So here, the explanation is given that, yes, the answer looks like irrelevant, but it is completely relevant because if you want to describe impersonal Brahman, which have no qualities, and if you are given, okay, he says that he doesn't have any form, there are no qualities, there are no senses, if that is the case, then if you are also born in the same way, that you don't have any intelligence, you don't have any mind, then how will you understand? So you want to realize that something which has no qualities, no form, no senses, nothing. And okay, if the Lord, if you are also with all this same of same nature, then how can you understand? So Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, so the Lord is merciful, so he has given you intelligence, he has given you mind, he has given you senses. So use all these things to understand something which is beyond. Then he continues. If Lord wishes, he can manifest himself in the limited words. He is not limited, so that he cannot manifest in the limited words. He is unlimited and he has all potencies so that he can manifest himself completely in the limited words. This is the inconceivable potency of the Lord. So, when a devotee is presenting Krishna conscious teaching, then what is happening? the Lord is completely present in that teaching. And that can change the heart of materialistic people. And a devotee is completely convinced of this fact. This is the most important aspect. Like Srila Prabhupada. When Srila Prabhupada wrote Srimad Bhagavatam, he wrote the entire Srimad Bhagavatam. Yes, not the last section, but the whole teachings are there in whatever he had written as commentary. And Srila Prabhupada used to relish reading his own works. He used to relish reading. He used to relish hearing his own work. Usually an author, he cannot read his books again and again. Once you write, you may refer, you correct everything you publish, then you forget it, you go for the next. He cannot go back and read. It is boring. But Srila Prabhupada, he could read again and again his work because he was completely convinced and he was completely realized that these are words of Krishna. And he was only an instrument in presenting this Vedic knowledge. In fact, one interviewer asked Srila Prabhupada about Krishna book. Then Srila Prabhupada said, Krishna personally dictated this book to me and I just wrote that. Then one of his disciples nearby tried to correct. What Srila Prabhupada actually meant was that Krishna inspired within the heart to give a commentary to the whole speech. Srila Prabhupada stopped his disciple. He said, no, Krishna personally dictated, spoke, and I just wrote. So this was the kind of conviction and this was the kind of level of consciousness Srila Prabhupada had, and this had the kind of connection he had to Lord Sri Krishna. Shruta Kirti Prabhu says, very beautiful story where Srila Prabhupada used to relish Krishna book. Relish. As if he is hearing for the first time. So much of enthusiasm in hearing Krishna book. And Srila Prabhupada would ask Shruta Kirti Prabhu, you know, read a chapter of Krishna book. And Shruta Kirti Prabhu would read. So Shruta Kirti Prabhu found that Srila Prabhupada likes the chapters where Krishna is fighting with demons. And where, you know, Krishna is smashing them and, you know, demons are fleeing or, you know, they are suffering. When he, the whole these things, the whole fight scenes, Srila Prabhupada used to laugh loudly and he used to, you know, hit like that. He used to laugh like that. So when Shruta Kirti Prabhu found this, he decided, okay, I will select these chapters. And then whenever it's okay, today you had to read Prabhupada says, so he would have already done his homework. Okay, this chapter, there is a nice fight and this kind of thing. So I will read this chapter. So Prabhupada used to relish. But one day Shruta Kirti Prabhu said he was completely unprepared. He, you know, he didn't know what to read and he was not so familiar with the whole book. So Shruta Prabhu said, okay, read Krishna book. So he was just looking, you know, which one, this one, that one, you know, he was looking for all. So Shruta Prabhu said, no, just read from anywhere. It is like a sweet bowl. Wherever you touch, wherever you bite, you get the same sweetness. So that was the kind of understanding, that was the kind of realization that Shruta Prabhu had. On his own book, he's in his writing, but it is given by Krishna. So we can see how Krishna is completely present in Srila Prabhupada's writing. So this is what we are aspiring for. Next very important point is that Sudha Goswami and Sugata Goswami, they are showing complete dependence on Parampara. So the dependence on Parampara is such that whatever they are presenting is have the same potency as the Lord originally when he spoke to Lord Brahma. So it is mentioned that whatever Sukadeva Goswami spoke on Srimad Bhagavatam, it has the same potency and it has the same content as that which was spoken by Lord himself to Lord Brahma. Hridayananda Goswami Maharaj, as you know, he wrote the purports after Srila Prabhupada's departure to Srimad Bhagavatam. So the rest of from 13th chapter onwards, from 14th chapter onwards, all Srimad Bhagavatam and the 10th canto and 11th canto and 12th canto, he wrote the purport, and it is a huge task. Lot of compilation, lot of analysis, lot of realization, so many things. He did many years, he worked and he completed the purports to Srimad Bhagavatam in the absence of Srila Prabhupada. Then at the end, Srila Hridayananda Goswami Maharaj, he shared his realization after doing this work. It is really voluminous work. It's, you know, it is so much of effort. He said, we are nothing without the Parampara. This is the realization. We have nothing without the Parampara. So we may speak something, We may have some understanding, we may practice something. Still, without the parampara, we have no hope. Practically no hope. And parampara has all the solutions. One time, Srila Prabhupada was discussing something with some devotees, and he said, the modern civilization is about technology. People are addicted to technology, and they consider technology to be all in all, have all power, all powerful technologies in so many different forms, so many different shapes. So, Srila Prabhupada said, what is this technology? Srila Prabhupada said, technology means you have a problem, right? If it is hot, you need an aircon. So aircon is a solution to your problem. Correct? So that is the technology. You have a problem and the solution is technology. And if it is so, if it is too, you know, too cool, it is, you know, it's very, very cold, then you have a heater. That is technology. And if you cannot talk from here to far distance, you have phone. So this is technology. Correct? So you have a problem and you have a solution, and that solution is technology. Correct? This is the finally a solution to a material problem, that is technology on a ground level. Then Srila Prabhupada said, yes, that's right. Now, the actual problem, he said, it is birth, death, old age and disease. Janma, mrityu, jara, vyadhi. These are the fundamental problems. So, actual technology means parampara. Because with parampara can give the solution to the basic, the highest, the biggest problems. So, he said, the real technology means parampara. So when you go back, you don't have any minor problems. You know, you are not worried about heat or cold or this or that. So he said, real technology means that is parampara. And he said, okay, we have to be dependent on parampara. Another very important point here is accepting credit. We have, you know, the pure devotees never accept credit. They pass it on. They understand whom everything belongs to. Ishava samidam sarvam yatkinja jagatyam jagat. However, as practicing devotees, we have this problem with the credit. If somebody is giving credit, in some level we are trying to get credit, if not externally, at least internally. And on the other side, if somebody is giving credit, then we want to accept. The reality is that we can pass it on. If we get glorification, we had to pass it on, understanding whom actually it belongs to. Think about ourselves in a few years back. What were our position? We had nothing. So it belongs to someone else, where it actually coming from. So we need to give. Internally we need to practice giving that credit to the spiritual master, to Krishna, to the devotees, where it actually came from. But this requires practice. At least we have to do externally to start with. That we always do. If you have done a wonderful service, externally we say, oh, I haven't done anything. But internally we do think that, okay, actually I have done that. I had not only this, I did the other thing also. You didn't mention that, but we don't say, but it's okay, externally at least we had to do it. So that at one point, we start thinking internally. In fact, Prithu Maharaj gives a very wonderful example in terms of dealing with the glorification in the fourth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. When the professional reciters, they were glorifying Prithu Maharaj, Prithu Maharaj said, you should actually glorify who actually meant to be glorified. Everything belongs to the Supreme Lord. He's actually Shakti Vash Avatar. Still he says, it actually, all these qualities what you are describing belongs to the Supreme Lord. So you should actually glorify him rather than me. Then he makes one more interesting point, that actually I haven't performed any of these activities. And how can you glorify before that? Then also he says, if you glorify like that, sometimes we get glorified for things which we have never done. You know, it's a part of glorification. It can go into the range of exaggeration. You know, we may have done something, okay, which is a fact. We acted as an instrument for a few things. But in the process of glorification, things, the list goes beyond. So, Prithu Maharaj says, if you glorify someone, and if you say that, You are a great personality. You are such a wonderful personality. So you are such a scholar, because if you actually get some education, then you will become a scholar. You have the potential to be a scholar. So I am glorifying you that you are a scholar. So Prithu Maharaj says that kind of glorification is, in one sense, is an insult. A person who accepts such glorification, he says that is fool. He's a foolish person, because you haven't done, but you accept that. That is foolishness. One has to reject. So that is another thing, dealing with the glorification, dealing with the credit. Then final statement in this purport is that no one is free to act freely and independently. We can understand that. We are controlled by the material nature, by the supreme will. And as such, one should always seek the permission of the Lord to act or eat or speak. To act, eat or speak. Eat, we know. At least externally, we chant, you know, the mantra goes very fast, depending on our hunger. So we take some kind of permission we take. We pray a little bit. Speak, if we are speaking Bhagavatam, we chant. And especially if we haven't prepared much, then we chant very nicely. Because then we feel dependence. You know, what am I going to speak? Then finally, what is act? That is a very important point. Act. If we have any activities, at least we should pray to the Lord. Oh, no, kindly allow me to do it properly, especially service. And finally, the final point of what I want to mention was, the Lord, everything done by a devotee is beyond the principles of the four defects typical of the conditioned souls. Oh, how can we understand this point? Even consider a pure devotee, for him also, if he does anything that is beyond the four defects, meaning, there is no imperfect senses, no question of committing mistake, no illusion, and no cheating. Okay, we can understand, if we consider about a pure devotee, we can easily understand there is no cheating propensity. We can understand there is no illusion. But when it comes to imperfect senses and to mistake, to err, then it becomes a problem, right? Srila Prabhupada, you know, he used to wear glasses. What does that mean? Yes, he's using an imperfect senses, right? He has at times he has quoted verses which are not exactly right, like the may have missed one or two words, or you know, so these are mistakes in one sense. So how can we understand these statements? So when I was thinking about this, first verse came to my mind was Prasadam verse. That is Sharirar Abhidajar Chodayadriya Hai Taheka. So this body is, what is the body? This is a network of ignorance. Correct? It's a network of ignorance. Means the senses are network of ignorance. And it is leading to death. What does that mean? It means that in the conditioned state, our senses are demanding sense gratification. The whole body is demanding gratification. That is a sign of ignorance. When we say Sharirar Abhidajal, means our body is demanding enjoyment independent of Krishna. So that is ignorance. That is our ignorance. And when it comes to a pure devotee, he is not demanding sense gratification. His body is only engaged in service of Krishna. And the so-called defects are not actually considered defects, which are perfect, because he is using his senses completely in service of Krishna. And those kinds of mistakes are not actually considered mistakes. They are not mistakes on the spiritual platform. These are mistakes on a material level, but on a spiritual platform, they are not mistakes. In Nectar of Instruction also make this point. Just like the Ganges water is considered pure, no matter there is foam and, you know, dirt and mud and etc. In the same way, a devotee's body is never considered impure because it is spiritualized. So on one level we can see, materially one could see material imperfections, but on the spiritual level it is completely pure. And Srimad Bhagavatam says, Abadhya Vadhyavi, right? Namanyaka Anandasya Yashomkitaniya Srinandi Gayanti Granandi Sadhava. This verse is quoted in each and every canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. In each and every volume of Srimad Bhagavatam, we can see this verse in the beginning. Tadvag Visargo Janadakha Viplavo. Yesmin pradishlogam abadhya vadhyavi namanyanantasya yashomkitaniyas srinandi gayanti ghrinandi sadhava. So it mentioned, apparently there could be some material imperfections in the speech or writings of pure devotees. Still, it is completely accepted on the spiritual platform by the devotees who are thoroughly honest. So there is no question of imperfection on the spiritual platform. So I stop here. And see if there are any comments or questions. Yes, please. What is that?
Before taking the bus in the room.
Yeah. Yeah. Correct. Yeah.
I think it was mentioned about the baby in the home is completely.
Okay, that is about a fortunate soul. It's not for everyone. It's about a fortunate soul. And such a fortunate soul, it is mentioned that if he prays like that, if he or she comes out from the womb, we will get liberation for sure. For such a fortunate soul. But it looks like, if you continue reading that chapter, it looks like he is taking birth and then again getting entangled and the whole thing is given. But it is very clearly mentioned that that part is only about a fortunate soul who would go back to Godhead. And other one is a story which could happen not for him, for someone else. Yeah.
This soul is not contaminated by the evil subject of nature.
Yeah.
Within the womb, still has
no. The living entity is contaminated even in the womb of material, in the womb of the mother, by three modes of material.
So which makes it a soul then?
Of course. Covered. He's covered always. In any form he's covered. If not by the gross matter, by the subtle matter. It's always covered. Three modes are, it's permeating in gross and subtle forms. But in the womb it is gross. It's not subtle. Of course, subtle covering is there for all living entities in any stage. That you can see. Next verse onwards you can see how Shukadeva Goswami systematically remembering. So, okay. Thank you very much. Granthashrimad Bhagavatam ki Srila Prabhupada ki jai.